Well, good morning to y'all. It's great to have so many shiny faces here and all the young kids. That, you know, the kids just bring energy. I don't know what you guys think, but whenever I see kids, I just kind of go, yeah. So praise the Lord for kids of all ages, including me. Oh, Lord. We just praise Him for these beautiful days and the sunshine. You know, I work on sunshine. When it gets cloudy, like yesterday was cloudy all day, I was kind of going, like that. So, oh, please, son, stay around for a while. Well, today, yes, as Steve mentioned, we're going to be on the message today, talk about the Prince of Peace. And I know a lot of people like to see peace happen in the world. And a long time ago, I think it was 1962, a missionary family called the Richardsons, Joy actually went to church with them for a little while. I actually met these missionaries as well. And God sent them to the far reaches of the world. They landed them in a pontoon plane in an area called Papua New Guinea. And back then, I think it was Netherlands, New Guinea, or something like that. But they're going there to bring the good news of Christ, this peace, the Prince of Peace, to these people who, when living in these remote areas, were cannibals. Many tribes of cannibals. They practiced that, and actually, they really enjoyed it. And they knew that these pale faces were coming, and they knew that they had some special equipment that they were very interested in, like axes and saws and things like that. So they were hearing these guys were coming, but they didn't know when. So when the Richardsons landed and they got in a canoe and they met one of the tribes, I think it's called Sawi, right? Sawi tribe. And these, you know, I'm sure, you know, they're strangers, you know, and of course they don't know the Sawi language, so that was one thing they had to do. But as they're learning that these people really like to befriend somebody from another tribe and really, you know, feed them and treat them like their family. And this one, they're given a story in this book called The Peace Child. If you ever read it before, I don't know if you have, but if you haven't, I would say read it because it's really a great story. You know, they had this one person coming in, and he for several weeks, and he was feeling like, oh, he can just walk into this other tribe's a village and do whatever he wants, and people are treating him nice. And one day they gave him a big dinner, then they killed him, and they ate him. And it was great. They were celebrating. What a great deception. Woo! You know, this is awesome. It's kind of like, you know, Tom Brady throwing that fourth quarter touchdown pass for a Super Bowl victory, you know, or something like that. It's like, oh, yeah, you know? Come on, get in. Come on, give Tom a little bit of help here. He needs your help. He's getting old. Not as old as me. But, you know, that's it. And then, of course, the other tribe would be going, oh, they did that. They start putting together their own strategies and even more, something more deceptive, more complex to get back at that tribe. Well, the Richardsons all along were living amongst these people, trying to figure them out and learning their language. And they started to learn their language enough that they can start teaching them about Jesus and telling them the story. And they were telling the story of Jesus. And when they got to the where Judas betrayed Jesus, the tribe just went, oh, yeah, that's our hero. Judas, he's the boss. He's the man. Look at that guy. That's one of the greatest deceptions. They were really impressed. And I'm sure Don Richardson was kind of going, oh, what am I going to do with these guys? And as time went on, he was learning about the culture and how they live and their belief system. He found out there was something called the Peace Child. And what they would do, if they wanted to make peace with another tribe, one tribe would give one of their children to that tribe. And the peace would have to be kept between that tribe, those two tribes, or more tribes, depending on how many are involved, until, you know, for the length of that peace child's life. Well, as you know, these guys are deceptive, so how long is this peach child going to survive? I don't know. But so he took that, though. He took that. He said, he started teaching them. He says, hey, guys, look, I'm going to teach you about another peace child. Peace child that God gave us. And this peace child, he gives us peace forever. It's an everlasting peace. It's not just this for a lifetime of somebody, but it's forever as you believe in him. And as he's doing that and other things occurred, people started to open their hearts. And at some point in time, when there was a disaster, I think it was a canoe ride, and he had his two boys with him, and it was a lot of crocodiles infested water, and their canoe turned over. But they were, the person that was with them, one of the Sawi members, was able to help, and somebody else helped them save their boys, his boys. And then he came back, and the tribal members were looking at that person, you know, the Sawi tribe member that was, driving their boat or, you know, paddling their boat, and they were going to beat him. And then Don just said, no. He stood up for him and says, no, he saved my children. And he says, I declare the name of the peace child. And when he did that, everybody said yes, and the forgiveness that comes with it. So they had to forgive. And then that started a movement amongst the tribal members and even the head tribe leader there. And now, even today, those Sawi tribes are following Christ, and there's peace amongst them mostly. And it's just an amazing story. And that, you know, when we think about, you know, I don't know. When I was growing up, I'd be watching TV, and they'd have these beauty contests, you know, the pageant, American, I forget what it was called, but something. But they would always ask a question like, you know, what's important to you? What do you really like to see happen? And a lot of them were saying, world peace. We want world peace. And, you know, we all want peace. And we can find peace in different ways, and looking for peace and trying to and make peace is good. It's a good thing. You know, some people grab a book, go off somewhere quietly, and they have a peaceful time, good relaxing time. Some people take hikes, hunt, you know, just peaceful times, you know, something to get alone and get out there amongst nature. Some people do yoga or other exercises and stuff like that to just get some, to surround themselves with peace. Some people like to use war to get peace, or deceptions to get peace. But one thing we have a problem is, we might have peace, but usually it's fairly fleeting. And it could be very temporary. It might not even depend upon us. It's, you know, the world around us, you know, gets chaotic or something happens and it just breaks the peace. Or even when our own inner selves, we just can't get at peace. Something is happening, causing us to be anxious. And more than that, we start to, you know, start to have some issues, physical, mental, emotional issues. So when we read about this peace child in Isaiah 9, the fourth name, you know, we know that character of a peace child bringing peace. People want peace. It's very important for a kingdom. In fact, this kingdom, the government and peace are increasing in this government. And that the righteousness and justice of that government is upheld so peace can happen. So it is that critical. And it takes this God, this child, our Messiah, to be able to make this happen. You know, the wisdom and the wonders to have this plan for each one of us, a perfect plan. And the might, the power to carry out that plan in our lives, And then he acts as a father to us, a father forever, who provides for us and protects us and forgives us so much. And now he comes with that special quality that we all need, as someone who will bring peace into our lives and into our world. Today we're going to be looking at some things about how we can get this everlasting peace in our lives. And it's interesting, I don't know, I just believe this was God, but I was going, where in the Bible could I really, you know, get into some scripture and look at this? And I sat down at the table, and my Bible just, you know, I just put my Bible down and opened on its own. And I thought I was there, you know, and then I looked at it, and I was praying, thinking about it, and I said, oh, well, that's funny. Jonah. What has Jonah to do with peace? Well, let's find out. So if you open your book to one of our favorite stories of Jonah, we'll be going through that today and looking at how we can draw things out of there that we can learn about really receiving everlasting peace. Let's pray before we go on. Lord Father, you are so good. You know exactly what we need in our lives. And Lord, peace is one of those things that I know pretty much everyone would say yes to. So Lord, as we learn, get into your word, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will move and open our hearts and minds that we can learn the things that you want us to learn. And that we can find that everlasting peace. And to share that with others. Bless this time, we pray. And bless these words in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So as you know, I don't know how many times you've read the story or read it to your children or had it read to you when you were a child, but it's Jonah, a prophet of God. You know, God said, hey, there's these wicked people over there. It's called the Ninevites. I want you to go over there and tell them, hey, give them this message for me. You know, they're in trouble. They're in trouble. And Jonah's going, I'm not going to go over there. Those are enemies. See, I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. If you say, Washington Redskins are coming to town, I go, those are enemies. In fact, when I was growing up, as a teenager, one of my next-door neighbors, who is a pretty good friend of mine, he was a Washington Redskins fan. And oh, the fights we would have when they've played. And they played twice a year, okay? You know, I was a good rock thrower. I guess I never got that far, but we would try to stay away from other ends. I would hear them roar. If their team, Redskins, scored, I hear them going, yeah! And I'd be going, ah! So I could feel like Jonah is doing the same thing. Go, I don't want to go. Those guys kill our people. So you know what he does? He gets on a boat and he goes, I'm going the opposite direction. The problem is, he knows God. Okay? And you can't run from him. He's one that he demands 100% obedience and allegiance. He doesn't let you get away. So God stirred up the sea. And there's sailors on this boat. They call them heathen sailors because they didn't know who God was. They probably had many gods. And, you know, things are getting kind of rough. And they're going, why is it so rough? What's going on? And, you know, Jonah's in the bottom of the boat sleeping. I think he was pretty depressed because he knew God was after him. He couldn't get away from him. I think he was just going, oh, I'm done for. I don't want to do this. You know, when you get into that feeling, and then you just, your whole emotions just kind of go down. You just like, I give up. I quit. You know, so I think that's where he was. But the sailors wanted to live. So they brought him up, and they tossed these lots, and this lot fell to Jonah. And they go, you know, right here on there, starting with verse 8 there in first chapter Jonah. So they asked him, tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? Boy, so they are really going, who is this guy? And who is making these waves so huge that is starting to sink the boat? Well, Jonah answered him and says, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. This terrified them. You know why it's terrified? Because they probably never heard of a God like this. He made the sea and land. It's God of heaven. Whoa. He's powerful. So as the sea was getting rougher, they said, how can we stop this God from making the sea so crazy? How can we do that? And Jonah says, pick me up. See, he's given up already. He says, I'm done for. I don't care. I want to die. I think he said that later on too, didn't he? in this book here. He says, just pick me up and throw me into the sea, and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. See, one of the things for us to get into the path of peace, to be able to receive everlasting peace, is to understand that when we are not in the right path, or when we face the truth, we understand that we're not following the truth, that we're going the wrong way, we are not in the right way, doing the right thing. That's called conviction. We meet up with something, face the truth, find out that we're not there. It's a conviction of the heart. It's very important to be convicted. It's not, it hurts and it humbles us, but it's very important for us to be able to have that in our lives, to steer us in the correct direction. But, okay, so the sailors heard, you know, Jonah said, just toss me in the sea, and they're going, whoa. And then they started, you know, the things were getting even wilder. The waves were getting bigger, and they're going, oh. And they got their paddles or whatever they can do, and they start, there's land over there, and they start doing as best they can to get over there, right? And they're caught up in this, and but they couldn't get there. It's just getting even wilder the more they tried. You know, that's the way we are. That's the way humans are, aren't we? Things get really stormy and stuff like that. What do? We're always trying to fix it ourselves. That's when we put on our best, you know, get best plans, put out the best plans, and just say, I'm gonna get through this, and you're gonna do whatever you can, whatever strategies you used before, whatever you learned before, whatever it is, or you've seen somebody else been successful at, you say, I'm gonna do that. There's a guy that went around the country at some point here in the United States to interview Christians. And he talked to this one lady, her name was Sheila. And he says, well, so, are you a Christian? He says, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I'm not a fanatic. I don't know how long it has been since I've been to church. But, you know, I just do as best I can. I just figure out what's best for me, and I just do that. See, that's what many people, even us as followers of Christ, do. We tend to just start going, huh? Yeah, that's good. You take a little bit of truth here, you could take a little bit of something there, you take a little experience in your life, and say, yeah, and start trying to fix your own problem. And then you start wondering why the seas around you are just going to be knocking you over or sinking you or stirring in your heart and taking you down, causing you health problems and mental issues, emotional issues, struggles in your life. I know I did when I was a teenager. I would never go back to those years, you know that? I don't know about you, but those were crazy years. Lots of conflict going on. See, peace is absence of conflict. It's calmness, it's harmony. I didn't have it. And so these sailors were going, well, what are we going to do? And they finally said, okay, we got to do this. And then they cried out, they said this, then they cried out to the Lord, oh, Lord, please do not let me die. This is in verse 14. For taking this man's life, do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, O Lord, have done as you pleased. They're meeting the truth. They're facing something they never faced before. I got to believe that their hearts were going, whoa. This God is mighty. We never met him before. We're really on a wrong path. So they finally concede, and they threw Jonah into the sea. Well, the next thing is there's a, you know, ever hear the term do or die, right? You know, you either do it or you're going to die. Well, they had to toss Jonah into the sea or die. Have you ever played the game or had somebody say, uncle? You ever do that? They get you in a headlock and your face is turning red and say uncle, say uncle. And you're going, no, no. And you're going, oh, and you're going, yeah, say it, say it, say it. And finally, most people anyways, some people might get choked out. Oh, Matt's looking at me, he's going, yeah, I remember that. My brother did that to me, or if you have a brother or my sister, I don't know. I had two older brothers. I'm going, okay, uncle. All right? That's one thing we need to learn to get everlasting peace. We need to say uncle. Because he's twisting our arm or putting us in a headlock that we can't get out of. Right, Gideon? I know you think you're tough. Just wait till your dad grabs hold of you. Especially after your foot gets his shoulder fixed. Right? So, you know, that's very important. So, because, you know, what happened was this. Listen to what happened to sailors. We're looking at the sailors first here. When Jonah's body hit the sea, there in verse 15, then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. Boom. No, it didn't just go, oh, slowly. No, no, he hit the water, and then boom. Stop. See, something like, then the sailors are going, oh! And then they say, at this, the men, the sailors, greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and they made vows to him. Did you see what happened to them? Do or die. They were convicted, and they found out. They just said, uncle! Uncle, I'm not dealing with you again. You got my allegiance. I'm sacrificing to you. I'm making these vows to you. And Jonah, what about Jonah? Jonah hitting the sea and just sinking and sinking and sinking, going down to the depths of the sea, not looking too good. I think he was probably praying, I think. I'm not sure. But I know when God showed mercy, sent a great fish to swallow him up. And as he was in the belly of the fish, Jonah prayed. If you want to look at it there in chapter 2, that's his long prayer. And if you go down to verse 7, it says, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord. And my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. So he was praying. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. Oh, he's following the same thing that the sailors did. Sacrifice to you what I have vowed. Oh, the sailors did some vows too. What I have vowed, I will make good. See, he's going to set things right with God. Salvation comes from the Lord. See what happened to Jonah? He knew God, but he was convicted. Once again, he said, oh, God, all right, Uncle, you got me. Uncle, help me. Yes. Yes, God, I'm going to do it. I will make this right with you. I'm going to do what you told me to do. I'm going to go to the Ninevites. So God had what? The fish spit them out onto the land. And Jonah went to the Ninevites. And he proclaimed this to the Ninevites in the hearing of them. And you know what's strange? Is he comes into the city, and it's a huge city of people, okay, these Ninevites, and they're a very wicked, cruel people. And they said it would take a 3 days walk to get through the whole city. So he started announcing this. I don't know how he announced it. Maybe he was really happy to announce it. Could be. He could have said, 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overturned. 40 more days, dudes. You're going down. I'm going to be happy to see that. You know where his heart was, right? He didn't like the Ninevites. He wanted them to be destroyed. So he probably announced it with gladness. But then he also knew who God was, and he was going, oh, God's given him a chance, a do or die chance. So now the Ninevites are in this headlock, right? They're in the headlock, and they're going, oh. What's happening here? Well, we know what happens. See, when they hear that, the Ninevites were just amazed, and they were terrified. And if you look at chapter 3, verse 3, we'll pick it up at there. It says, Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. How can they believe God? Why would they even listen to Jonah? I don't know. Maybe they knew him before, or maybe somebody saw him getting spit out by a fish on a land. I don't know. One thing I know, one of the gods that they worship was a partial fish and man combination. So something was going on there, but they believed God. They believed. That's an amazing thing. They met their... They're convicted in their hearts when they heard this message. And they were convicted. And they said, what did they say? Uncle! Because the Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast. And all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. So they really turned to repent, turn away from their sins, and turn to God. An amazing thing. All these people, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of people turning to God, seeking peace. Seeking peace. Because peace, true peace, can only come from God. Because it's an everlasting peace. It's not just something that lasts for a few hours or a few days or a few months, a few years. It is a peace that lasts forever. Amazing. See, the sailors made peace with God in that moment. They met him. But I'm not really sure if they followed him. I don't know. There's no more records about him. I don't know if later on or they decided to continue to follow God and give him their full allegiance and no other gods in their lives. I don't know. I hope so. I really hope so. But I can't tell you for sure. Don't know if they've received everlasting peace. Jonah, we see him here, you know, he's still not very content with God's compassion because you know what he did. He saw the Ninevites, their hearts and their repentance, and God relented. He decided not to destroy them. Well, Jonah wasn't very happy with that. I believe he had peace with God about doing what he was supposed to do to a certain point, a fragile peace, you might want to call it. But his attitude, I hope that his attitude got right with God and remembering that he is merciful and that even he should be thankful and he was the recipient of God's mercy. He felt it. He was sinking to the depths of the sea. And God showed him mercy. But I can't tell you really about Jonah. I don't know if he ever got that straightened out with God or not. And the Ninevites, we know they made peace with God and things were all right, but we do know this. Later on, the Ninevites turned away from God. And he did destroy them. But we don't have to be like them. We don't have to be going, huh? One of those people, huh? Am I really going to do this? Am I really going to follow him? Am I really going to believe? See, in Colossians, if you want to turn to Colossians, remember we studied that book a little while ago. In Colossians, and we'll look at chapter 1, and we'll look at verse 21. And verse 21 says, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior." See, there's a lot of conflict there for us. We're enemies. We're alienated by our sin, our behavior. The way we think, we're always thinking about ourselves, aren't we? Always thinking about how to get ahead. I'm not sure if we're so much different from those cannibals in Papua New Guinea. We might not eat one another. We sure do things very close to like that. Revenge is sweet. It's even sweeter when you get back. Peace is what we seek, but we really can't get it on our own. See, God knows that, and that's why he sent the Prince of Peace. See, a prince is a ruler. He's a ruler, and we know this child is a ruler, and he was born to us, and he did something so amazing. This child grew up, and then he took our sins to the cross. Instead of us dying for our own sins, he died in our place. See, we couldn't do it. We're not good enough on our own. But he was. He is. See, there in verse 19, it says this. It says, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him," talking about him as Jesus, "and through him to reconcile to himself all things." No, not just one person, not just that tribe of people, not just that nation. No, all things, heaven and earth, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on a cross. See, that blood had to be shed. Without blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. We need it. It's just the way it is, because God's, you know, the wages of sin is death, right? The sacrificial system was given to the Israelites to kind of help them out, to kind of get right with God, to make peace with him. You know, they had to get that lamb or goat or bull or whatever that they needed and sacrifice it. It died in that person's, my place. All right? Oh, I sinned. I got to get this my lamb here and go over there, and it sheds its blood for me to save me, to make me right with God again. They found out that there weren't enough bulls or goats or sheep or birds or whatever for all their sins that they commit in a year. So then they just decided to do it once a year. Except for some people who are really devout, they can bring their own. But Jesus became that perfect sacrifice, that perfect lamb, once and for all. And people say, well, how is he any different? How can he bring peace? Well, because he is holy. He was born in a special way. We celebrate on Christmas. Born of a virgin. He did not have the tainted sin of man in his blood. He was not stained like we are. But yet, he was man and he was God. But he knew ultimately what he was to do for us, because he knew that none of us were good enough. None of us sought God. We all fall short of his glory. So he sent his son, Jesus, to walk amongst us and then eventually die, shedding his blood on the cross for us, that blood. Not just for me, but for everybody. Everybody. All nations, tribes, languages, everybody. He did that for us. Bringing peace, making peace between us. That's what reconciliation is, right? Making peace between God and man. That's what Jesus did. And that's the good news. See, the bad news is we can't do it on our own. We can't fix it ourselves. We can't go on the cross for another person. All right, and it says somewhere in the Bible there, it says that maybe a Daniel, he could die, and he was righteous enough that he could die for himself and be saved, but not for anybody else. Only Jesus could do that. Only he could take our cup of sin, all the fullness of our sin, and he could just take it on himself. Only he could. Because he was perfect, he was holy, he was sinless. He did that for us, to bring peace to us. And he's coming back. The same Jesus who died in Easter, in a couple more months or so, 3 months, we're going to be celebrating Easter. That he died for us, but not only did he die, but he rose again. Because death and sin, the grave, they couldn't hold him. Couldn't hold him back. The grave couldn't hold him. Death couldn't hold him. He rose again, right? And then he ascended into heaven on that day, and he gave his disciples that commission to go and make disciples of the nations. Go. Baptizing them in our name. And I'll be with you wherever you go, to the ends of the ages. Go. Share this good news with others, that there is peace and an everlasting peace, because he's coming back. And now, and going back to Isaiah, we'll see it. See, he's going to bring that kingdom. It's going to be a perfect kingdom that lasts forever. And it'll be a kingdom of peace. a kingdom of peace for all. No more strife, no more death, no more sin, no more sickness, no more pain. It'd be just the way he made it at first before Adam and Eve decided to do their own thing. So, what are we going to do with this? First of all, depending on where we're at with God, we need to say, Uncle. You know, there's times in our lives, and I know many times in my life I've had to just say, Uncle, you got me, God. You are God, not me. See, I think that's one of the greatest struggles of everybody, men and women alike. We want to be God. We want to do our own thing. We want our own plans. We want it just our way. But then we get hit with the truth, the big wave, get in a headlock that we can't get out of. Just going to say, Uncle. And the sooner you say it, the less red your face gets. Acknowledge him as God. Say, Uncle. Say, Uncle. Something around you, something stirring in your heart that you're just not right. You feel something there. Things going on, you know, things going crazy, you know, problems with relationships, jobs, finances, politics, wars, people lying to you. Yeah. We can't do it on our own. We can't fix it on our own. We've got to come to God and give it to him. Acknowledge that. Bring it to him. Say, Uncle. Next thing you can do, you can be like Simon Peter on that day that Jesus was on the beach teaching, and Simon Peter was, him and some others were coming back from fishing all night, and they didn't get anything. And then at the end of Jesus' time of teaching, he told Simon Peter, says, go out there a little bit further and cast down your nets. And he was kind of hesitant, but then he did it. He said, okay. And as he cast those nets down, he caught a huge load of fish that even another boat had to come along and help him out with it. And then he came over to Jesus, and you know what he did? He said this. He fell down in front of him and just said, go away from me, Jesus. Go away from me. I am a sinful man. See, he saw sin before a holy God. Somebody who's perfect, wonderful, convicted to the core who he is. See, what we need to do is we need to confess our sins. And I tell you, I have to do it daily. Confess it with a true heart. Ask for forgiveness. Repent. You know what repentance is, right? It's turning from our sin. It's where our minds start getting changed about our sinful life, about things that we do that are not right before God. It's a change of how we think and do. Remember in Colossians talking about how our minds, our evil behaviors separate us from God? Yeah, we need a change of mind, the way we think about sin. So after we do that, confess. And, oh, one more thing. You know, Jonah would tell you this. It says, no matter how far you sink, how you think how great your sin is, God is greater to forgive your sins. There is no sin greater than his forgiveness. No amount of sins or no sin that's greater than what he can erase. He can take as far away as the east is from the west. He can do it. There's peace knowing that. And lastly, we need to follow him. We need to follow him. Obey. Trust and obey. We're going to be singing that song in a little bit. Trust and obey. It's easy to say. Not easy to do. But his spirit as we draw closer to him, his Spirit will lead us into that. And we will have peace here. And yes, we'll lose it again, and we'll get it again as we focus upon the Lord. But we will have peace forever, lasting for eternity, when our Savior, our Lord, our coming King comes back. The peace child. Remember the peace child? Don King presented, you know, they would present their own peace child, but it was only so much. But he was presenting them the true peace child. Remember the peace child as we walk in our lives forevermore, and to share that with others as well. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the peace child. I don't even really have the words to say thank you enough. I can't even really contemplate your great love. So great it is that you would send us your Son and truly to die for us, because you knew there was no other way that we could be saved, no other way that we could be made right with you. See, there had to be a payment of blood, a perfect blood. The bulls and the lambs and the goats and all just weren't good enough. No, there had to be a perfect blood. That was your Son, Jesus. Thank you for him. Thank you for the peace that we have because of all he did for us, and all he does for us, and all he will do for us as we look for that wonderful day of everlasting peace. Oh, so we so desire that. We desire that now. We desire that when we come into your kingdom. May we be those who share this good news, this peace child, with others. Empower us and guide us, Lord Father. We pray in Jesus Christ's name, and all of his people say, amen.